This is M9KXR listening on 22398.
CMN Network, MI3. MI3 Network.
ADKY, monitoring.
M9SAM in Dayton, Ohio. Anybody on frequency this morning?
Good morning to the Dayton station, Dayton, Ohio, KD8MUI, Stephen in Walker, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, right, here at Grand Rapids. What was the first personal?
Just saying, my name is Stephen, and I'm located in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Call sign is Kilo Delta 8, Mike Echo Yankee. Good morning.
Yankee, we're having a little sip of coffee and stand by.
Grand Rapids in Dayton, this is KE9ELM in Greenfield, Indiana.
All right, Greenfield. I don't take a copy. Maybe I can get my mind straight there and catch all the important facts and figures here. Anyway, good to hear you guys. We're about 10 miles north of Dayton, Ohio. The name is Sam, W9SAM, there, over.
Good morning, Sam, and flip to mine, I think he said Greenfield, Indiana. Hey, we're getting a nice little triangle here. At least we got Ohio, Indiana, and Michigan. Good to hear everybody. Name here is Steven. Northwest corner of Grand Rapids. I'm in an old burb called Walker, but Grand Rapids is an easier way for somebody to find me. So with that, we'll send it over to the Greenfield, Indiana station, KDMY.
My apologies, didn't catch the last gentleman's statement to me. I had some background noise that was distracting me. Please repeat your last.
KD8MEY, Stephen in Grand Rapids, just saying good morning to everybody. Name here is Stephen, and located just northwest side of Grand Rapids, and I believe you're out of Greenfield, Indiana. Go ahead, Indiana station.
Top of the morning to you, Grand Rapids. I'm not sure how your weather's up. You're north of me by quite a bit there. I was just wondering how warm it is or how cold it is, whether or not you've got a bunch of rain flying on you.
Well, I can confirm that it is definitely raining here, and we're at 61 degrees. 61 degrees and falling. I'm going to go ahead and hand it over to Ohio. Sam, KDMY, Stephen. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, Stephen, thank you. And we now have pencil and paper. Since I can't remember things this morning, I'm going to try and write it down. And I have looked at the radar, and we've got a lot of rain stretched all the way north of the lakes, all the way up into Canada, and the tail of that thing ends down in the heart of Texas. And it's red, yellow, and green coming across the eastern part of the United States here. So that's what we're faced with. It looks like it should arrive here at Dayton here in about, maybe before lunch even, maybe. So another morning of unplugging everything and all that. We unplug everything when this happens. We don't risk anything. Some people think that's not, they don't like to hear that, but I don't care. I got a lot of money invested in my amateur equipment, and I don't want to burn it up. So I'll go around and unplug everything, even the TVs. So there's the story there. And I tell you, let me look at the weather stations here in my front room station, and it's showing 65 degrees. And it looks like Bombers going down. It's 29.97. And so we've been having some gusts out here already, 16-mile-hour gusts here a while ago. So, but yeah, look at your, if you got radar there, look at your radar. It looks pretty ugly there, to me anyway. 99SAM, Dayton, Ohio, go ahead.
Yeah, Greenfield's got thunder boomers on top of me right now. My dog's hiding in a normal hide spot when the thunder comes around, and I'm still fired up, teed up here. I got an attic antenna, so hopefully it won't get nailed.
Good evening, why? Grand Rapids. Yeah, just a little bit of rain here. Overcast, obviously, but nothing else really going on. I think we're on kind of maybe the northern end of it, but I heard we're supposed to get some thunderstorms later in the day. I'm sure they'll roll through. And Sam, I actually drive through your area a couple times, heading down to some conventions down in North Carolina and Columbus, Ohio. But I do believe it was WD9SAM.
KDMY,
go ahead, Sam.
Okay, how about that? Well, we got, you know, Dayton, Ohio is the crossroads of America. I'm about 300 miles, let's see, about 300 miles north-northwest where I-70 crosses I-75. And so we've got interstate traffic here all the time when it's active. I work off of a 220 simplex frequency, so feel free to call me anytime. I try to stay available, being retired now after many years. And we sit on 224.76, and we work that as simplex. And when you come into that, you'll be on Echolink and everything, because I have a link here. I am W9SAM-L, and several of us are starting to inquire into that, and since there's hardly any traffic, activity, I guess, you got to search for it, I suppose. So here I am. I've got John's repeater there out of Grand Rapids. It should be Moline, but that Stevens coming through. And of course we got the Indianapolis 224-800 here. It stands at 500 foot over there, northwest Indianapolis. And we've got David's repeater in Walton, Kentucky in here with us. And then of course we got big guys and gals, 220 there out of Chicago, WM9W. And we've got a new link in here with us this morning. And KDA. I've also got a TOT on this radio. I don't like TOTs, but there's a reason for them. I guess I've got one active here, so we don't want to time anybody out. So that's going on out there. So we got several in here tied in all across the United States to see who's available this morning to promote activity. Most of these, if not all of them, our 220 repeaters. I am a 220 operator predominantly, and a second generation 220 operator, of course. So that's some history here with us. And the connections that we've got here. These are the ones I bring up on Friday night for the Syracuse, New York Nationwide 220 Net that happens at 7 p.m. Eastern. I don't know if you guys link into that or listen to that, but maybe next Friday try to get into that. W9SAM, Dayton, Ohio.
KG9EOM, you still there, Sam? How about you, Grand Rapids? Either one of you still there, or are we delinked?
Go ahead, Indianapolis. We're here. Dayton, Ohio.
Okay, Sam, didn't hear anything there for a few seconds. I thought maybe we got delinked or something, or maybe that you actually did shut it down to protect the equipment. Over.
Before I do that, I always would let everybody know that. What are you on over there? Are you on the 2-meter frequency that's tied into the 220? Or are you on the 224.800 machine? Over.
Sam, I'm on the 2-meter. I'm at 25 watts power right now because I think I can hit it with that much power. I might have to kick it up if you're getting a lousy signal. But yeah, I'm on the 2-meter because I don't have the particular rig I'm on is a 2-meter 440 rig, and it will not transmit out of band, so it will not even transmit on the 220, so I always get on the 2-meter.
Okay, well, just, let me see here. Just as a suggestion, we work, the 220 radios that we have here at our station, I've got many of them, actually. The Anytone 50 watt 220 radio, $140, $120. You can get on Walmart online and look for them. Believe it or not, Walmart. How about that? And put in your browser, your search window, Anytone 220 50 watt radio, and see if it comes up. Now they run out of them all the time, so. But I would invite you to get one of those and set up a 333, kind of 333 antenna outside with double shield coax and then make your way into the 220 band there. Over.
Thank you, Sam. I appreciate that. I'm going to have to look into that a little bit. I'm a little strapped for cash right now. I'm kind of newly retired due to a back injury that I can't seem to get over, but if I ever come across any cash, I just might try that just so I could talk to you, Sam, because I like you.
Well, everybody does. I'm a real flamboyant kind of fella, and we're all about activity out here on the handbands. Just now 18 years into the licensed side. I've been around ham radio since I was over 14 years old. Never got licensed until 2008, but we're familiar with all of it. I mean, I've got radios here. I'd be glad to get one to you if at all possible. But there's sanctions that go with that that side of things. So I'd get you another antenna here if I had one laying around here. I've had 2 333s out here, and I gave them away to 2 people that one sometimes gets on the air, and the other one that gets on the air on 2-meter, because that's a tri-band antenna. So tri-band antenna covers 2, 440, and, of course, 220. The 333 comma antenna is the antenna of choice for the 220 operator there, over.
QSO on that antenna. Now, what name brand is that 333? Is that a Diamond or a Comet? What is that?
Yeah, it is a Comet. CX333. R&L to Hamilton, Ohio's got them, over.
Gotcha. Comet's got a pretty good reputation for antennas as well as Diamond. I hear about those two all the time. Yeah, I'm fairly new ham here. Just got my license, my tech license here back in January, so just a couple months ago. I've been listening for about 2 years, and I finally decided to get off my duff, study for the test, make sure I pass it, of course. and then start talking. So normally I'm not a very talkative person, but I'm trying to become more talkative because this hobby kind of demands it. Over.
Well, yeah, definitely. Well, glad to have you, and stay tuned to this one because we're always linking into this one. Let's get Stephen back in here. Stephen, did you copy all that information that I talked about here just a minute ago there, over?
Yep, and actually the repeater I'm coming through is my own personal repeater. John, NAKPR, is still located in Moline. He's just south and down from where my repeater is on 92nd Street Hill. But I have a 220 repeater here on 92nd Street Hill that actually he has a hard time getting through. So mine actually gets better into Grand Rapids and north end of Way. His gets better on the south end of Way. The KDMA wire repeater is at 224.920, just for the information. But, yeah. So, you're coming from Ohio into, sounds like you're probably using like a Yaki on 220 to hit a repeater in Indiana. Is that what I'm hearing correctly? And I do have a tri-band antenna for 220, 2 meter 440. It's a mag mount, so it's a mobile style antenna. I live in an apartment, and I have used some Comets that do pretty good. But currently I'm using a Nagoya. With that, I'll send it over to Sam, and then Sam sent it to Indiana, and then back over to Michigan. Go ahead, Sam. Give me one.
Thank you, Ray. Let me ask you, do you have a balcony there on at your where you have a balcony? Over.
Affirmative, and that's what I have my antennas on. Is I got one on a metal table and one on a cookie sheet. The one for on the cookie sheet is 2 meter two meter and 440 currently, and then the other one is 220 because I do not have a tri-band radio. I'm waiting for the new Kenwood to come along. I've got the D75 handheld, but I'm waiting for that 750 where I can actually have all three bands on one antenna. Over to you, Sam.
Okay, you know, the idea that I heard done, and I've even done it, is a tri-band antenna, which would be the Comet 333 for me, double-shielded coax, which is the glue that makes it work, tied into a tri-band antenna, or a tri-band radio. That's all you need. You got to take it care of right then and there. Now, if not, a 50-watt 220 radio, 333 mounted there on your balcony. I know other people have done it. It works out pretty good for them. So I don't know if that would be something you might be interested in. The Comet 333 antenna is only 10 foot 2 inches. 10 foot 2 inches. And I would suggest that when you get them and you open them up and you try to put them together, that you lay down a white towel underneath, because the set screws that you're going to use to make a connection are like microscopic. And if you drop one in the carpet or somewhere, you're never going to find it unless you got a great big magnet. So if it drops in the white towel, you can find it easier. I'm telling you, they are tiny. I put maybe 10, 15 of these Comets together. So I set up for it so it doesn't rule me. I like to rule it. So just some suggestions and pass them over. You know, that's what amateur radio is all about, is one amateur passing a lot of good intel to the other operator to learn from. So just some techniques I've already learned that I wouldn't like to see anybody have a problem with. Go ahead, Stephen. W9SM, Dayton, Ohio.
Well, I've assembled one of those 333s. My local radio club that I was president of about a year and a half ago, we were doing some tower work, and we have a CX 333, I think it's the model number for it, and we had that put on our tower. We also had, I think we went with a, I can't remember if it was a Diamond or a Comet that was 6 meter, 240, I'm sorry, 6 meter, 2 meter, and 440, just to have that additional, you know, because one would cover one would cover the other, just to kind of broaden our options there for our radios down in the radio room. And, but yeah, I put one of those together, and yeah, they're those small little screws. Make sure you put it on a table that has a good visual place that if you, if one falls or something like that, you know where to find it. With that, let's go ahead and send it over to the Indiana station. I apologize. Over to you. Team EY. Stephen in Grand Rapids.
Indiana, are you hearing us? Yes, I hear you now. The 210 side of it dropped out for a while, and I had to switch over to the 220 to hear you. But again, I can't transmit on the 220, and then all of a sudden it came back on the 210, so I'm back again. Over.
Well, then we can see the problems with that kind of thing. It's not 100% like it would be if he was standing on 220. So, you know, you have to deal with that, I guess. I've talked to other people who come across the 2-meter there in Indianapolis from other parts of Indiana there. You know, we bring this up on Friday nights, like I say, and there's a handful of Hoosiers that, come online and, check in that to the net with us. So, I mean, there's activity. There's amateurs over there that can form activity, and we're always happy to hear them. And I have a 9 call, even though I'm in Dayton, Ohio. When I got that call, a vanity call, the FCC had just relaxed the idea that you had to stay within the region. I live in A-band, and, of course, that's a 9-land call, which covers Indiana, Wisconsin, and Illinois. But this call had the name Sam in it, and that's what my friend was trying to point out to me. And it was an SK call, and it became available within a couple of months, and I jumped on it, and, well, here we are, like 11, 12 years later, there, over.
That's for Sam. Yeah, good deal. Yeah, I've talked to you before, and I kind of figured out that that was probably a vanity call because, it, you know, your call sign has the word Sam, and, of course, that's your name. So, yeah, I kind of figured out real quick it was a vanity call. No problem with that. Why not? You know, it's certainly easy to remember.
Well, yeah, before I send it over to Stephen, let me say that, that's my nickname. That's my was my dad's nickname. We both worked in public safety. And I retired in 04 after 33 years the firefighter. I had to take a disability as well. You know, you don't work too good on your body when you're on your way to a fire, and as you're putting your air pack on, it hits a curve and throws you out of the engine there. You roll about 13, 14 times on the road with your air pack on, by the way. So I should have been blown up and sent to the moon, but the Lord thy God had other interest. So God bless him. To God be the glory with that, you know. So anyway, we had problems ever since then. I had double hip replacements and everything. That shock into my body sent arthritis like no other. And that's usually the way it starts. With a bump on the body somewhere. So anyways, that's some of the history there with me. And I was known as Sam the Fireman. How about that? Back to you, Steve, W9SM, Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah, 88 in July, Stephen, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Well, as far as for history, I grew up in St. Joseph, Michigan, so if I wanted to go shopping or do anything, my family always went to either South Bend, Indiana or Kalamazoo. But been through Indiana, fine community, you know, good taste, had no problem with them. And I know that we have some 220 interleaks through NJPR and some of that down into that area through, I believe it's WD9YPA. And talked to him a few times, Mike, I believe, and good guy. You know, and I have a local net here on the IRA on Wednesday mornings if you are familiar with the Independent Repeater Association. On Wednesday mornings from 3 a.m. to 5 a.m., and we interlink to the 220 Good Guys and some of the other 220 links, and we get guys from all over the country. But I know that's not a net that everybody can join. So it's a kind of a round robin or round table type net where we cover many different topics. You know, anything's pretty much open for discussion within certain confines of the rules as we have to follow by the FCC within limitations. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and hand it over to Indiana. KDMEY, Kilo Delta 8, Mike X, Yankee, Stephen, Grand Rapids. Go ahead, Indiana.
KG9ELM Friday. Yeah, I was an electronics, component level electronics technician for about, 25 years or so, 25, 30, I can't quite remember anymore. Of course, everything started going heavy duty surface mount, got smaller and smaller, and there wasn't much call for component level electronics guys anymore because it became what I call swaptronics, you know, you swap the whole board out. So I switched over to being an industrial electrician instead, even though it was physically harder, you know, big, have to lift heavier stuff and all that. I thought the troubleshooting was easier, you know, a lot easier, especially relay logic. That stuff for me, I just eat it up, and plus I like it, so. But, of course, you know, it's just my luck to switch to a more physical job as I get older, and it got me. It got me. I blew out my back initially when I was 24 trying to lift something in an industrial plant that I had no business trying to pick up. And now I got three bulge discs and a lot of arthritis in my lower back, so it's got me now to where, you know, I got to take pain pill a day. Over.
Everybody has a testimony out here of one kind or another. So, and for reasons of being on the air here. But, you know, I have fun doing this. So I've been around all my life almost. So, what I've noticed though lately is the activity has fell way down. For different reasons why. And that's what I try to do is bring some activity back to the airways, I guess, sir. Yeah, go ahead, Stephen. Dang it, I understand.
Network.
Well, as you talked about activity, and that's something that was a thought for my repeater. I could have had a 440 repeater, but I don't see much activity there. And the FCC already took part of 220 away, but 220 is a great band. It's below the noise floor. And it's not too crowded. Granted, there isn't much bandwidth available since they took, you know, basically 220 to 222, but it's a good band, and it has good properties. It shares the 2-meter distance with 440 penetration to certain values. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and go with 220. And that's why I went with a 220 repeater. And got to know NAJDR and KADUX. And they had a network going, so I decided to join them and W9YPA. You know, we got to do something for 220. We have to preserve it. We can't let it go. We cannot let it go. No cell phones here. With that, we'll send it on over to Indiana.
EDUY. Indiana here. Cliff's my name, by the way. Like Clifford the Big Red Dog, just for future reference. But I'm not particular. I'll talk to anything that I can hear, pretty much. I don't care if it's... I don't have a GMRS license, but if I ever got one, I would talk on that. FR, I don't care. I just want action. I want to hear something on my radio. Nothing worse than a silent radio. What's the point of turning it on, even, you know? So I just want to hear something. Right now, I only have a 2-liter 440 equipment and antennas. I don't even have any HF rigs yet. I feel like if I get into HF, the next thing you know, I'm going to have a huge antenna out in my yard. You know, I live in suburbia. And go down the deep rabbit hole and start whipping out the big bucks. And thus far, I'm trying to avoid that because I know how I am when I get into a hobby. I've had hobbies my whole life. I'll go in deep, throw a lot of money at it, then get bored with it. And then I'm trying to avoid that right now.
All right, Clifford. Well, my suggestion would be, maybe, is if you can get over this way in Dayton, Ohio in May, get it online and get a ticket before you come over. Or they got tickets there you can walk up and... and buy, but I think it's a little bit more money, $30 or something, I don't know. You come over here to the Dayton Handvention. And, you know, come early, because there's a lot to see, and you're going to see things that you might be interested in, I'm sure. And that's in the buildings, and if that don't catch your eye, once you get out to the flea market, you'll be out there for, well, 2 days. Because everything is out there. I mean, everything. So the Dayton Handvention in May, I think 15, 16, and 17 is here. I don't know. You got to check that. Dayton, let's see, handvention.org, I think it is. Handvention.org online. It talks all about everything. Everything and everything about the Handvention. Where you can park, hotels, where you can eat, this, that, the other, everything. So my suggestion would be, you know, take a look at that, and might be something there you'd be interested in. But if you come over this way, let me know so we can talk on the air. Like I say, I'm on 22476. Now, when that starts happening, I'll go ahead and pay more attention to 220 FM call channel, which everybody's on usually. 223-500 Simplex, of course. And people coming in from all over the world to this thing. It's the largest handvention. Well, there's no other gathering of hams that's called handvention. Dayton Handvention is, the Darren Club owns that handvention word. You cannot use it anywhere else in the world. I can remember being at a board meeting there, and the handvention chair brought up the fact that somebody in New Mexico was using handvention to describe their deal. The lawyers over here sent word to them, cease and desist. You can call it ham fest, but you cannot call it a handvention. Dayton Handvention owns that one. So it's the greatest spectacle in amateur radio, they say. I've worked it many times. I've been committee chairs and all that, so I don't really need to go back over because there's nothing I need over there. But it's, if you've never been there, you need to go. And maybe we can give me a call there and we can stop and I'll meet you over at a restaurant and we'll have a meal and talk about radios. What else? W9SAM, Dayton, Ohio. Go ahead, Michigan.
such thing. KDMY.
You know, I haven't talked to D-Lex in a long time. Is he still on the air? I don't think he's on the air anymore, is he?
D-Lex, Glenn has been really busy. I haven't even talked to him, and he's just, you know, not too far from me here recently. I know he's been doing some things with business and such and so forth. But, yeah, he's been real busy. So, but, unless he might be listening. I don't know if he has Saturdays off. He might have a Saturday off. Maybe. He's not answering out there. KDMY, I'm going to go ahead and send it over to Indiana. And, Glenn, you're out there. Jump in. Got a couple people like to talk to you.
Yeah, if I ever make it to that hand mention in Dayton, which probably really isn't all that far away, I'd be glued to that flea market trying to pick up every good price item I probably can. I know I could really use, I don't really have any test equipment yet. I don't have a dummy load or an SWR meter, and I'd like to get my hands on that kind of stuff.
Well, we've got that and more some. Like I said, you'll be out there all day because you just go up and down the aisles, and all these people got all these booths set up, and they're bringing everything and everything to the mix. It's out in the middle of the racetrack is where they have the flea market these days. Now, the only thing that's going to be a problem would be the weather. And Dayton, the amateur, or the Dayton Handvention is always known for bad weather. But I can tell you that when we have good weather, buddy, it's off the charts. You know, 35,000 people, 37,000 people. I mean, that's a bunch of people for 3 days. So, I know I used to have to work all that. I was on a parking lot committee, and I was on the chairman talk in and all that, assistant chair. And it was fun doing that parking lot stuff. I love that. So, and you meet everybody you talk to in the air that you never, you don't even know, you've never seen their face. Now they're right there in front of you, and they're scared to death of you when they see you, of course, over.
Yeah, I've heard of the Handvention in Dayton. I know I've seen it on the internet because I do a lot of reading. That's how I kind of do my study work. I find that Google probably, you know, it beats an encyclopedia that you had to go to and go get at the library when you were a kid, you know what I mean? So, but I have heard of it. I had no idea it was that big, though.
It's the largest one in the world. Orlando comes close. There's one over in, oh, my Lord, where's this other one at? Germany or something, maybe? That's pretty good, I guess. And we got these people down, some of the reps. They would go to these others. Fly in, all that. They take them all in just because they accept everybody in the world here with Dayton. And they have big dinners on Saturday night, awarding big prizes to different operators throughout the globe. You know, this is a global thing. So, it's quite the big deal. I mean, there's anywhere from 700 to 1,000 volunteers that put this thing on there, over. Go ahead, Chicago. WM9W, go ahead, anybody there? I see you're trying to talk. Go ahead.
Good morning, Sam. KE9DFP. How are we doing today?
Well, we're trying to wake up. We've got Michigan over here, Stephen over there in Grand Rapids, and we got Clifford over here in Indianapolis on 2 meter coming into 220. So. We're sitting around and jabbing a bit there. Go ahead.
I was just curious, Sam. I can hear you on Echolink, but I can't hear you on RF on the WM9W.
Well, I see you coming on here. I mean, I got you linked in the last year in the club, so they can hear you. So, yeah, I'm a W9SM-L. So I have a link here linked into the Internet, into Echolink. But I'm sitting here in my front room station. I'm talking to you on a 220-50-watt radio. I'm not talking into any computer or any phones. I have a mic in hand, and I'm talking into a microphone. That's the beauty of having a DSL link. Over.
Okay. I thought my receive went bad on my radio, because I usually talk to you on RF.
Well, I don't know. You know, I can remember a couple, three, four summers ago when I put this big M squared 24 foot long 220 Yagi up. And in the mornings there, Gas City Phil and I and a couple others, the topic of the atmosphere was good. And we talked in the Chicago on, 224.52 with a PL of 110.9, I think. We talked into there with our antennas. And those guys that said, Sammy, can I go on Echolink? I said, I'm not on Echolink. I'm talking to you on the radio. And they couldn't believe it. They're over.
Yeah, I was just curious. Like I said, I didn't want to interfere, and I was just wondering why I can't hear you on RF side. But, okay. I just, like I said, heard you on Echolink. I just wanted to wave hello and say good morning. You have yourself a fine one. KE9, DFT, clear.
Hi, DFT. Yeah, well, like I said, we got Steven in here from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and on John's repeater, NHJPR, and then we got Clifford that's come in. Clifford's on the 2-meter repeater linked in to 224.800, which stands about 500 foot over there, I think, in the northwest part of the city of Indianapolis. That's the latest intel that I have on that. Anyway, good morning that way, and we are looking at radar here, and we see a lot of bad stuff. It's coming into Indiana right now, and they say it'll be here around the Dayton, Ohio area no later than maybe 11, 12 o'clock today. And it looks really rough. So that's the bad thing about when spring shows up. It brings some ugliness with it. And it's not to my liking, I can tell you that right now. W9SM, go ahead there, Steven.
KEMY, Steven at Grand Rapids. Good morning, Chicago. And I don't know if you're hearing me on RF. My repeater is directly linked in to 220. And Sam, for clarification, I am coming through my repeater, KDMEY, not through NHJPR. I am linked with NHJPR and other 220 repeaters here, but through a hub. But I'm coming through my own personal repeater. That's what I was trying to share information about 224.92 for NHJPR's 223.92. He's still in Moline. So with that, I'll go ahead and hand over to the Cliff over in Indiana. Give me one.
Oh, Cliff's doing great here in Greenfield. We just had the big boomers roll past us. It's kind of calm out there now, but definitely it's good to hear Chicago, the Windy City. I was back in my Navy days as a very young man. I was stationed up at Great Lakes. Over.
Yeah, you guys carry on. I'll be right back. W9SM.
Morning, Cliff. Give me one. Chicago station. It sounded like you he was going to chat with Sam for a sec, and then he checked out. Over to you, Cliff.
Yeah, I stepped out for a second to see if I could sneak in another cup of coffee real quick, and I think the Chicago station checked out, yeah, but I was going to talk to him, and the windy city is, that's very true, it's always windy up there, that's one of the things I remember, and lots of snow by the lake.
Oh, I definitely know how that goes. I grew up in St. Joseph, Michigan, and then moved to Grand Rapids in 2001. We get a good amount of snow here, but the lake effect snow right there on the lakeshore, yeah. Definitely know how that goes. I mean, we still get a fair amount of it here in Grand Rapids. And I transfer stores, and that longer drive is making me going, yep, driving in wintertime makes me regret it. At least I have four-wheel drive on the fly. Doesn't help you on ice, though. It doesn't help you on ice. But you're down in Indianapolis. I've been to Indianapolis, I believe, one time. I've driven by another time, but haven't been there much myself. Heard a lot of good things about the city. Just haven't been there very much. Over to you, Katie Newine.
Yes, Steve, I live about 20 miles due east of Indianapolis in a smaller town called Greenfield. I don't go down there a lot. I know they call it the Circle City because it's arranged, the streets are arranged in a big circle. And there's a lot of good eateries and restaurants around Indianapolis. And you'll usually find, at least what I've found around, you know, bigger cities, you get really good ethnic foods if you like that kind of stuff. So I've only been to Michigan. Let's see, I was in Ann Arbor, Michigan, actually for my bachelor party way back when. My wife has a brother that lives up in Michigan. I can't remember the name of the town now, but we've driven up there a couple of times. And one thing that struck me about Michigan, though, I was really surprised how much forest is in Michigan, and those forests are pretty thick. Over.
Yeah, we definitely still have a good amount of trees here. More northern, but one thing is I would like to say when I drive down the highway, at least see some forest. I went over to Detroit about a week ago, I want to say, to buy some computer parts to build myself a new Linux box. And it was funny how you go from the west side of the state to the east side of the state, and those trees just disappear as you get more towards the trees. Yeah, I mean, Grand Rapids is the second biggest city in Michigan and growing, while Detroit is decaying. Not sure how I feel about that. I'm getting, as I'm getting older, I'm getting kind of sick of the traffic. It might be time to move to a little burb outside of Grand Rapids. I like the area. Don't want to necessarily leave the area, but don't want to live in the heart of it anymore. Just don't want to fight the traffic and all that anymore. For that, we'll send it over to you, Cliff, and then go ahead and see if Tim is back after that. Go ahead, Cliff, CMUI, Stephen in Grand Rapids.
Yeah, I definitely know what you mean about the traffic. I originally hail from Baltimore, Maryland, and I remember, I didn't like the traffic, and I think ever since then, I've had sort of an adversity to living in big cities. I prefer small, quiet, boring towns, low crime rate, that kind of thing. I know when I moved out here, to Indiana from Illinois. My wife is originally from Peoria Heights, Illinois. We lived there for about 25 years. But I remember when I came here, I told my real estate agent when I was house hunting, don't put me in the hood and don't put me in an HOA, and after that it's all good. Over.
I fully understand. Growing up in St. Joe, we were neighboring city to Benton Harbor, and Benton Harbor is just not good. And I want to buy a house, but it's 50 years old. I don't know if it'd just be better just to rent or whatever. But I absolutely 100% vehemently will never, ever join HOA. There's stupid rules, restrictions, fines, fees, and all this just to make the neighborhood look like it looks good. Nope. No, thank you. I'll pass. Back to you, Cliff. Anyway.
Completely agree. Couldn't agree more. And I have an adversity to have somebody tell me what I can do with my property when I'm the one paying for it. I can't abide by that. No way. Over.
You betcha. Nothing like, you know, buying a $250,000 home and told you have to keep paying it this way. Told you can't park in your garage and have to keep your garage doors open so they can see who's inside. Can't put up a small tower for your antennas for your hobby. Make sure you keep your roses trimmed, and they can only be red and pink, no yellow. Over to you, Cliff.
Yeah, lots of red tape and, you know, just lots of people trying to tell you how to live is the way I look at it. For example, my son lives in an HOA, and in his neighborhood, they cannot have their garbage cans that they wheel out to the road once a week exposed. They have to put them in some kind of bin. He has, like, this Rubbermaid sort of bin with a lid on it so that it completely hides the garbage cans. And that's the only purpose of it, is to hide your garbage can. I don't see the point. I can look at a bin or a garbage can. It doesn't matter to me either way. I mean, come on, really.
If I want to see if Sam is back real
this
quick.
This is the CMN Network, MI3.
I'm going to pass over to him after this transmission. And it's all hypocritical BS. Fees. Money. Spend more money. We want everything to look good in our neighborhood. We want things to look perfect like a Barbie doll in a Barbie house. It's all it is. It's crap. It's all it is. And they say it's supposed to be for everybody, but yet there's this board of people that tell you and dictate the rules and impose the fines and all that garbage. So, nope, not going to happen to me. Will never happen to me. Over to Sam, if you're still there or if you're back. Go ahead, Sam. If not, go ahead and pick it up, Cliff.
All right, yeah, we're here, WI Sam. We had to get down the hall here. We're on a diuretic regimen, I think is what they call it. You know, because I'm old now. So, water seems to accumulate my ankles. So I got to take these things, among about, no heck, 8 or 9 other stuff. Jeez. Never thought that see the day I had to do that, but. Anyways, well, it sounds like we got some activity here this morning. I'm happy about that. And I just wonder out there how many people are actually listening. When I talk to people about this, and if I hear other conversations on the airs about this, the thought seems to be that there's a whole bunch of people listening, very few people talking. I don't know what's behind that, but and that's what the conversation somewhat leans to about that, so I don't know. Especially since we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 repeaters actually six counting the two there in Indianapolis, that we're linked into. The more repeaters you have, the more population you're going to touch, those individuals that come along with those repeaters. And in this case, we're talking several states, Michigan, Illinois, Ohio, and Indiana. So that enhances it, of course. But that's what we try to do on Friday nights, with a schedule than that, of course. But here we are Saturday morning. I thought maybe more would be awake and alive and up, and you'd be off work there. So anyway, my TOT is telling me I talk too much. W9SA, go ahead, Indianapolis.
Yeah, the more the merrier, Sam. If there's a lot of activity, there starts being a lot of activity, and there's actually a fair amount of activity on this band, mainly because of you, because you're the one that always seems to initiate it. I hear you on this particular band all the time, but yeah, I might go grab me one of those Anytones, you know, 220, 50-watt radios, why not? You know, the more the merrier as far as I'm concerned. I'll talk to anybody.
Well, I think it was Stephen talking about the enhancements of the 220 band, and he is so correct. If you know, back in the early days of my licensed life here, I did look up the 220 band on the internet, and I researched it, and you will believe what the 220 band does. Far better than the other two, far better. It has the same characteristics of both bands actually in it, and I don't think people realize that. If they do, they don't care, evidently. But the 220 band over the 3 is the far best band to use, to work, to talk on, to mess with, however you want to reach it. But and it does a lot of things, and it does them well. Now, you've got to have the equipment to do it, of course. So many people want to try to go around the barn, you know. But you talk on a 2-meter, you want a 2-meter radio, 2-meter antenna. You talk 440, you want the same. And of course, 220. See, 220 does something far better. It cries out for double-shielded coax, or it's the equivalent. Now, 2-meter and 440 doesn't require that. They don't require double-shielded, but 220 does. And I wouldn't believe it unless I tried it, and I tried it on a suggestion from some other 220 operators. And I couldn't believe it when I seen it. I really couldn't. I thought my meters were broke. And here it wasn't. Started touching edge repeaters with a coax in place. I thought, wow, listen to this. Couldn't believe it. So that's my testimony on it. I don't know if people will believe it, but there's no reason to lie about it. W9SA and Dayton, Ohio.
Evening, anyone. Just wanted to make sure I got it there. And Sam, I mean, yeah, dual-shooted coax is a good thing. I mean, I don't see why most ham operators wouldn't use it. But that, 220 has unique characteristics to it, where it's on the high end of VHF, but not UHF, but shares certain characteristics with it. You know, just the noise floor is one of the big things. Two, audio quality is good, real good. Problem, equipment availability. Now, if you're going to buy Chinese radios, yeah, there's a lot out there. What luck are you going to have? I've had good, I've had bad. As far as for the big Japanese manufacturers, Elinco, Kenwood, ICOM, and Jizu, Elinco has a standalone 220 rig that I'm currently using. The DRES-25, the monoband, mobile, 50 watts. Kenwood currently has just a handheld at 5 watts on a tri-band. Yaesu and ICOM have even less options. Let me take a bite here. I am in no way trying to discourage anyone from buying Chinese radios or buying Japanese radios. But what I would absolutely encourage is do your diligence. Do your research. I bought a couple of TYT 9000s. 65 watts, 220 mobiles, burned out. Programmed the radio, turned it on, went to transmit, and the magic smoke left the box. So it didn't work anymore. The magic smoke is gone. I've had a couple of the really small radiotes or QITs that are up there. I think it's a 7900. Nice radio can do quad band, one band we have no access to, but don't transmit on it too long. You'll burn it out. It's a very, very tiny radio, and it can't take the heat. So there's a lot of considerations to be made. With that, I'm going to go ahead and hand it over to Cliff over in Indianapolis. And Cliff, hand it over to Sam. Keep me wise. Keep in Grand Rapids.
KE9EOM for ID. I don't really have a lot of experience purchasing 220 radios. In fact, I don't even own one right now. I just know from my electronics background, I worked on a lot of, in fact, almost all of the electronics I worked on through the 80s and 90s was Japanese, and I thought it was, overall, it was very good. Now, I was working on more consumer products, you know, stereos, TVs, that kind of thing, VCRs even. I'm kind of dating myself on that, aren't I? But I always found the Japanese electronics to be pretty good, and then towards the end of my career, I started seeing the Chinese electronics coming in, and that stuff was a nightmare. Their part numbering system was a nightmare. Just to find a part number and replace this part, or find a direct crossover, they call it, was almost impossible, where the Japanese part numbers were readily available, and it was a very organized part numbering system that they used. And I just, so right now I'm running a Yaesu, as you can imagine, because I like Japanese electronics, but I know that ICOM and Kenwood and, of course, Motorola all have a very good reputation. I kind of consider Yaesu kind of like the Ruger of radios, you know, Ruger firearms. They make a good radio at a working man's price, but they're not dirt cheap, but they're not super expensive like a Smith & Wesson, if you get what I mean. Over. Back to you, Sam.
All right, WRSM, Dayton, Ohio here, and I've had my share of all these radios. And I've had probably over, well, I don't know, 10, 11 TYQs back in the day when they come out. And sometimes you got a good one, sometimes you had five bad ones. And it was found out that we had people open the covers and get them and look at them and found that they had put in cheap resistors and components in there. And these guys replaced them and never had a problem with a TYT again that they had. So that's some of the things that they found that I've heard about. And I've had a brand new TYT here, 65 watt suggestion. And I can usually manually put these frequencies in and work them manually, and I could never work a TYT. These antones and the jet streams, no problem. I can have 40 channels in them in less than 10 minutes. Those two radios are user-friendly. They don't make the Jetstream some more. However, the Intercone radio that I've been talking about here all morning is a Jetstream radio to the T, just got a different name on it. And they are very user-friendly. Over time, I've learned how to manually do these things. So I would suggest that to anybody. And unfortunately, these are Chinese radios, but I'll tell you, they work fine. I've got several of them. I've been working on them for the last many years. Like I said, I don't do TYTs anymore at all. And that's with that. Now, the Elenco 50 watts now has come on the scene. And I don't really, I've never had an Elenco 50 watt on the bench yet. I've got several 235 series out there. And the idea that the Elenco 235, that's a 25 watt radio, they made those for years. Those radios are what powers up the 224 or 300 Hilo Heights amateur radio club repeater, and also the DARA 220 repeater, 22394, because I was involved in that, and I helped put that together, both those repeaters, and the Elenco radio, because see, the Elenco radio underneath the heat sink, they have a 910 plug, and that's the way you plug your harness in that you make for it, and you plug in the 910 plug harness to receive and transmit radios and put that on a rack, and you're ready to go with a repeater. All you do is add the other components here, the cans and the controller, and of course plug in an antenna, and it's ready to go. But I would recommend the Intercone 50 watt 220 radio. That's what I would recommend to anybody these days there. Over.
As far as for the Intercones, I've only had one of the handhelds. I forget what it was. It was a DMR radio. I believe it was a 65 model. Not a bad radio. You know, felt good to hand, had good battery life, good functionality. But just never really got into the DMR, so I sold it. Not my thing. I've used Yaesu's Diffusion. I like the mode, but currently, other than a handheld, don't have a model that can do it. So, and on 220, you're not going to hear these digital modes. Not like, pretty much DMR, D-Star. Well, I don't know. Star might be available since the Kenwood D75, D74 have that function. I might have to look into that. But overall, you know, 220 is, as far as I'm concerned, one of the best bands, if not the best band out there. 6 meter, I think, is really good, but it'll break your soul. Depending on what your goals and your constituents want to be. It's a miracle band for a reason. If you can get far or you can get nowhere. But 6 meter, I think, is an alright band. 2 meter, no problem with. I just massively have no care for 440 and on up, 23 centimeter and all that. The microwave stuff, all line of sight, is not my thing. So that
will
send over to Cliff in Indiana.
Give me one. Yeah, I'm not sure if you can hear me. 210 dropped out again. I don't know if it has a short talk out timer on it or what, but so I'm not sure you're going to hear me since I'm forced to transmit on the 2 meter. But yeah, I've heard Kenwood's. I've heard a lot of good things about Kenwood's. And again, I'm new to this hobby, so I'm just going by what I hear from other hands. And Kenwood, Icon, Motorola's all have real good reputation. I think some of the Motorola's, from what I've heard anyway, could be a little tricky to program. But Chinese, you know, like I said, I have a DM-1701 Bofang DMR radio. Y'all does analog DMR, and that's it's an HD, and it, I'm very happy with it. Even the audio quality is pretty good on that one. I'd like to get it tested one day to see if it's putting out nasty spurs, but, you know, aside from that, I like the way it functions. It's very easy to run the firmware that's in it right now also. Over.
Some very new folks come into the hobby, and they're telling us that they've gone through some training on maybe an 8-week course, 6-week course on a technician training and things. And they're told by the instructor, you know, what to get, because a lot of people don't know what to get. And it usually comes down to an HT. And I don't know that the instructor goes far enough to say, now, the HT is a beginner. What you want to do once you get down the road and get some financially set, you want a stronger radio, a base radio, a mobile radio on a base even. You know, I actually refer to HTs as girly radios. So... because we have a discussion all the time on Wednesday nights on the Warren, Kentucky repeater with a net they have. It's called the Little Event. Starts at about 7:45, goes about 8:30, and then move over to another 220 repeater that then has echoing calls. So that's called the Big Event. I don't get on that one, but a lot of those people down there in Kentucky are talking to that repeater on HD because they're close. They don't need a big radio. I said, well, the question I always ask them, I said, what if I want to talk to you on simplex? How are we going to do it? And they scratched their head. They said, well, we don't know. I said, yeah, okay. So it's just a suggestion and a question for you to get them to think about it. So anyways, the instructor needs to go further and scratch some of the other radios out there that the technician should try to get. And 50 watt is a good number. Anyways, yeah, these things got to be available. Sometimes not available. You can get on Walmart. Well, I suggested you go find these, and they don't show any because they sell them all out. And they go, you know, they buy pallets and stuff. I think there's about 200 radios on a pallet, I think, what I've heard. Coming in from China, of course. So we had a problem with that out there for a while, but now I don't think it is. But so it's just something to look into, check out. Other people have gone with my suggestions, and they pick one up, and they give me thanks all the time for leading them to that radio, because they're having fun with it. And they enjoy it, so... So there's that, I guess. WISN, you got to remember, you got to have an antenna worthy. So it all fits together if you can do it and have the capabilities to do it. So the only thing I do is try it out and see if it works. If not, take everything to Hamvention and sell it. If you don't like it, they're over. I want to mention to you that Glenn DUX, before I had met him, I came up with a slogan that we use. And then when I finally met Glenn, Glenn says, listen, I've been talking about that slogan for now a year now. I said, well, did you make that up? Because I made this up. I never heard it out here before. He says, yeah, I made that about a year ago. I said, well, you're the author. And that slogan is making 220 great again. In fact, that's our slogan. That's our theme for Friday night there, over. DUX is responsible for that, over.
One, KDUX, yes, he is definitely one of those people that is about that and making 220 great again. one of the main drivers for it, and that's why I'm part of the crew. John, I'm JPR as well, and I know that we're linked into computers down by Mike, WB9YPA, and in Indiana, and we're also linked into a few over on the east side of the state. Hopefully we can keep growing 220 and keep it going. So with that, I'll hand it over to Cliff. KDMY to Cliff over in Indianapolis. Sorry. Brain is just getting tired, not keeping call signs.
Yeah, I might get serious about this 220. Of course, I'm doing okay through this 2-meter repeater, but I'd have to buy a dedicated 220 rig with a dedicated antenna, obviously, you know, especially if you're going to do anything simplex. But right now, I'm just running a Yaesu 2-meter 440 mobile unit, 50-watt, FTM 6000, one of the newer offerings. I like this radio. It's got a good size display that's not too busy. I don't like super busy displays where all the icons are so small. I got to get my face up to see what's going on. So I kind of like this radio so far, and it's doing a good job for me. Over.
CMN Network, 220.
Sam,
I'm still here, Sam.
Okay. I'm just looking at the weather here, and it looks like these storms that just came through you should arrive here maybe in about an hour. So here in a little bit, I'm going to get up and start unplugging everything. I just don't take any chances there, over.
Oh, no worries, Sam. I can't blame you there. It's kind of expensive, and of course, when you're retired, you're on a fixed income. So, yeah, definitely do what's prudent, over.
Well, yeah. And that's fixed income is right. And I got to go visit all the banks, my banks that I got money in to send to Medicaid so they can verify who I am and what, how much I got. You got to do that every year. Oh, my Lord. It's just one thing after another here, over.
Yeah, well, one thing I always say is they always find a way to pick a poor man's pocket. Just not everybody's got a method to do that.
Oh, they tell me it's because of all the people stealing stuff from Medicaid and Medicare. They got to verify who I am and what I'm about. They don't really cost anything, but you stand to lose if you don't comply with their wishes. You lose your insurance, so you know I can't have that. So you almost got to do what they want, you know, over.
Yeah, you have to jump through the hoops if you want to be medically insured. There's no question about that. Since I had to resign from my job due to my injury, I recently got on the VA, so they're my health care provider right now. And, of course, they don't have the best reputation in the world, but that's who I got right now, and that's about as cheap as I can get back up. I'm only 60, so I'm not, officially retired at like 62 where I can collect Social Security and all that. So I gotta do what I can.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta do what to do to survive, and you just don't know the way things have been going, but they've gotten a little better since the last election. But there's a lot to take care of and get back into order because of the ones that kind of messed it up, I suppose. Listen, I think I'm going to hang the mic up here. I'm going to go out to the shop and start unplugging things. I might even go down to McDonald's and get a big breakfast. I feel like eating some pancakes this morning. I don't have any here, so I could pull up there and order some and have them out of the way. So nice talking to you guys. We'll have to do this again. I'll leave everybody connected for now. But once the bad stuff starts, I'll disconnect everything here and unlink everybody. With that, 73 from me, W9SM, Dayton, Ohio.
Well, it's been great talking to everyone on the radio this morning on the 220 band, and we hope to make great again. It's certainly a pleasure talking to you again, Sam. Steve in Grand Rapids, it was a pleasure talking to you as well. 73, gentlemen, this is 59 DOM in Greenfield, and I'm signing off with the...
CMN Network, MI3.
N9OK.
MI3 Network.
Well, I got you in there now. N9OK.
CMN Network.